What's up, everybody? That was an awkward point, Kev. Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, November 29th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30 2019 at Tim Gettys.
That's me. Let's him host.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I just held your phone for the first time since I've had my phone.
Oh, yeah?
And I
did you go up to the big one? I don't remember.
Yeah. I went up to the big one. I went up to the max.
What'd you think?
And for a while, I was like, oh, this is way too big. No, I touched yours. Yours is a baby phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's crazy. I'm used to it now. Bigger is, in fact, better.
Well, yeah, that was a big concern for you, was it was going to be too big. You know what I mean? You're
used
to
holding
such small things.
Then I got used to it.
Yeah. It's been a while since we did the show together.
Yeah. How you been? I feel good about it.
Yeah.
I feel great.
You ready to talk about some video game stuff?
I am ready to talk about it.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. And tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you! The Kinda Funny Games Showcase is 1 week from Saturday. We have 60 games to show you, and we couldn't be more excited. Come see what we've got Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're out and about, you can follow @kindafunnyvids on Twitter to catch up as everything goes on, or just watch it later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames.
Two important shout-outs I want to give about
this showcase.
One, we are, in fact, doing an after party where we're playing Smash afterwards.
So that's twitch.tv/kindafunnygames.
Very exciting. I love all the love we're getting on Reset Era about this.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. Yeah.
Multiple threads popping up, people hyping things up,
trying
to like figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it's a great time. Yeah. I've noticed that my performances on all the shows are only going to get worse because I'm just so exhausted. And I have that constant tension headache up here.
Yeah.
And it's probably making me even grayer than I already am and stuff. So I apologize, everybody.
Dope as hell, though, eventually.
Oh, fucking Fantastic Four, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe I can stretch that much, too. You know what I mean? I want you to get me on the rack. See how much you can stretch me.
Okay.
All right.
One day we'll do that.
Bring the whip.
We'll make that
also, we're brought to you by 23 and Me Hymns and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report. Cool, Greg.
Baker's dozen.
Number one, Nintendo is killing the content creator program. This is via Brendan Sinclair at gamesindustry.biz.
What a show for me to be on. Nintendo and YouTube together. Let's go.
We knew it was going to happen. It's weird that it works out that way.
Does.
You know, it's a Destiny Day. Andrea's here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, it's a Red Dead Day. Jared's here.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Fucking it's British. Gary's here. Nintendo has dropped its insistence on getting a share of advertising revenues generated by people who post videos about its games on YouTube. The company today announced that it will end the Nintendo Creators Program, which saw YouTube content creators give over as much as 40% of a video's income if it featured Nintendo games. Quote, we are ending the Nintendo Creators Program to make it easier for content creators to make and monetize videos that contain Nintendo game content, the company said. We will no longer ask creators to submit their videos to the NCP. Yeah, you know me. And creators can continue showing their passion for Nintendo by following Nintendo's guidelines. Those guidelines give people permission to monetize videos with gameplay footage and screenshots of Nintendo games, so long as the content creator adds something to the process. Videos and images that contain mere copies of Nintendo game content without creative input or commentary are not permitted, the guidelines state. Additionally, the content must be from something officially released, and monetization must occur through an approved channel, such as the YouTube Partner Program or the Twitch Affiliate Program. Huzzah! That means we're going to make 19 cents when we stream Smash Brothers after the Kinda Funny Game Showcase.
It's going to be great. I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is this didn't affect us at all because we have MCN with Rooster Teeth that kind of whitelisted us from having to deal with shenanigans.
Okay.
Yeah.
You make so little money off of AdSense and stuff for us.
That's true. But that's the thing is, like, that's for us.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A lot of people do rely on this. And so this was a huge impact on their business.
Bottom line,
on what they, yeah, what they did.
How did Game Explain deal with all this? Like, they just had were they part of the program? Did
they have
stuff?
An MCN as well.
Okay.
So I think I think they're not all MCNs protected. But
that's a multi-channel network if you're not in the game.
Yes. I think they were protected. this is an ever-changing landscape. Yeah. And I feel like everybody from the developer side, from the content creator side, from the media side of YouTube and Twitch and all of them, everybody's just trying to figure out how to work together.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of missteps are going to be made in the years to come, and many have been made in the previous years.
Sure.
Nintendo doing this, I think, was a bad call from the get-go. I understand why they did it.
Sure.
But I think that they realize that it's a bad decision and are obviously taking it back. Why are they doing that, though? And that's what makes me... What's up?
Zaire writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, Greg and Tim, with Nintendo changing their YouTube policy, do you think this has anything to do with the new president of Nintendo? Also, do you think we'll see more changes similar to this? Why is this happening, Tim?"
I don't think it has anything to do with the president in a direct way of like, this was the president's plan.
Yeah.
I think that the president probably had a lot to do with the decision to act now on getting rid of it. I think this timing points to one of two things, and both of them have to do with Super Smash Brothers.
Ultimate. Ah.
One of them is, and I feel like this is a convenient answer, it's not the right answer, is this is a direct response to the leak that happened with Smash Bros. Ultimate. And
sure.
Them being like, look, we have rules, and we need to be able to police them accordingly of what can and can't be uploaded to YouTube. Because there was a lot of pushback from the people, and like they had no... ground to stand on because it was stolen stuff and they were just straight up uploading music soundtracks and all of that.
Fair.
And that, it's like it, there wasn't any
there was no artistic value,
no artistic
to it,
value,
right? Nothing
to
was
it.
Being added to the conversation. Exactly. By them just ripping and publishing.
So there's that. So this totally could be a response to that of just like, look, our rules are too complicated, we want everyone to be able to understand them, and we want to kind of support this system going forward. What I actually think it is them looking at Smash Ultimate as a giant evergreen title for them.
Mm,
and understanding,
people streaming it.
Understanding that the more that they support the esports side of Smash Ultimate, the more they support the fighting game community and make it easier for more people to do tournaments online, to do training videos online, to do commentary over those things, and to kind of make content out of the content and let the cycle kind of go crazy, to allow people to do hype watch along predictions and then watch alongs for the DLC characters that come out.
Sure.
The more people you're allowing to do that and to make money for it and be rewarded for doing it, I feel is going to make Smash a even bigger success than we all know it's going to be. And I think that that has more to do with this than the leak stuff.
I would say yes. That's what I would say as well, that it's not the leak stuff. It is the idea of getting ready for Smash. I would think that since they instituted this policy, right, which has been, what, a little over a year, year and a half?
It must be more than that.
You think so?
We were at the old studio.
Were we? Oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, I guess maybe we were. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let me know when they instituted the Nintendo Creators Program. I think it's the idea probably of, all right, what have we really seen return-wise on this? Mm-hmm. I would think there's a bottom line Excel doc spread, you know what I mean, of like, what does the spreadsheet say that you've actually garnered from this?
On top of that, there's a team, at least a team, that had to be in control of doing all this stuff. And it's
sure.
Like, what's the point of paying to have to deal with this and also get so much blowback and so much?
Exactly. Bullshit? And I think there were plenty of people who said that once this happened, all right, well, I'm not going to do Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
And granted, that's quieted down over the years. I don't think you hear about it as much. People.
Yeah. I mean, Rooster Teeth straight up said, we're not doing Nintendo stuff when this happened. And
yeah.
For a long time, they, Achievement Hunter and all of them, they didn't. It wasn't until I'd say the last year that they kind of just were like, fuck it and did
whatever.
It anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were making a stance like, we're not going to contribute. But I feel like this creator program, and again, this is kind of funny or wrong thing, because we are totally on a different side of this. I'm sure there's a lot of content creators out there that this really did affect.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it stopped affecting people at some point. And I feel like this is kind of just the final nail in the coffin for something that
sure.
Has already kind of been happening over the last year or two.
Yeah, but I think
Switch.
I think you definitely nail a point that they want it to be that people can actually go out, stream Smash, make Smash a bigger deal, you know, really lean into that moment we're about to have with that game next week already, which is crazy to say. Next week.
Next Smash week, Brothers, dude. I got chills. You gave me them, Greg.
I do quite a bit, especially when you stretch me. Number two on the Roper Report, Fallout 76's Fallout continues. This is from Shabana Arif over at IGN. The Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition included a number of goodies for players to enjoy, from a wearable T-51B helmet to a canvas West Tech duffel bag. But, as we discovered in our unboxing video, the duffel bag was shipped The duffel bag that was shipped was a cheap nylon replacement, and players who dropped $200 aren't happy about it. They're even less ecstatic that with Bethesda's response, which has been to offer $5 of in-game currency to make up for it. The company replied saying that due to unavailability of materials, the canvas bag was switched out for a nylon one. Given the ire of the community, it seems that customers didn't get notified of this prior to shipping. Did you see this explode yesterday?
No, I didn't.
So yeah, that Power Armor edition we have came with a bag. I collector's editions, whatever. I read them on the shows. I don't think about it. We got it. We unboxed it. I thought the helmet's super cool. Yeah, there was this really weird, like, you remember when you were a kid and you'd buy, I would buy the real Ghostbusters sleeping bag and it would come with a weird little nylon.
Thing that goes in?
Yeah, that kind of material. I looked at it, I was like, that's garbage. Threw it away. Apparently, yeah, when they put this out on, you know, sites and started shipping or for pre-orders, it was that this is going to be a high-quality canvas bag. And so when people got this, opened it up, they flipped out. Understandably so.
Absolutely.
Because you've been lied to about what you're buying. Exactly. $200 worth of it. So then, yeah, then the idea is that Bethesda sees all the complaints that really boiled over yesterday, and their response, right, is, hey, yeah, we're going to give you 500 atoms of in-game currency for Fallout 76, which, yes, is $5. A $5 return on this $200 edition when that was a part of it. Then, as people, of course, will do on the internet, they had a field day with it. Someone called out the fact that you can get this $500 of atoms isn't even enough to get the $700 postman or 700 atom postman outfit that comes with a satchel bag on it that looks nice.
Oh, man.
And so it was this. And like with 500 atoms, you can just get like a thing of succulents and some other piece of crap for your house. It was like, ugh. Like, you want to talk about a game that is apparently cursed. You know what I mean?
That keeps on giving that it is going,
like,
way.
Even when you think they're through the worst of it, like they've come out, they've publicly apologized that we're listening, we haven't been talking, we're sorry about that, we'll be better. Here, you know, they start talking about the things they're going to change, what they're going to do. People start talking about lawsuits. The bag starts. It's Jesus Louise, Fallout 76.
You know, it's unfortunate because I feel this is such. Is this raining?
Raining cats and dogs in San Francisco. Okay. So but it keeps doing the weird thing where.
It's totally
raining,
chill.
And then it's super sunny, and then it's raining like insane amounts of water.
I feel like when something really bad happens with a game, I remember with like Mass Effect Andromeda, right?
Sure.
It's like when there's that initial blowback, and then people keep playing, there's still that blowback. There's a like crossover point, it happened with Battlefront 2 as well, where all of a sudden the game is just being ripped apart for every single thing, and all of its flaws that... If another game had them, probably wouldn't be this.
Oh, sure. If you get one or two of these, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's like, but with Fallout, it's just, I feel like it's just
the blood's in the water.
It keeps coming, and now it's turning into physical goods.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, like this is bad.
Yeah,
like
there's no way
out of this. And also, the response of $5.
Ron writes in
code.
Ron writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, yesterday Bethesda gave a response to the Fallout 76 Collector's Edition fiasco that they are only giving a credit of about $5 worth of microtransactions. This might be one of the scummiest things a AAA publisher has ever done. Advertising a canvas bag and providing a low quality nylon one is blatant false advertising. I believe every collector edition buyer should be able to receive a full refund. Do you agree? It's an interesting question. I mean, here, my problem with saying yes blatantly is like, were you really? And I'm not a collector's edition buyer. Were you really buying it for the bag? Was that all about?
That's what I'm at too. And also, however, it is false advertising.
100%. And that was the other thing too, of like, from what I've seen, and I'm doing pastory glances at while I drink my coffee and cry about the showcase. It doesn't seem like nobody was notified ahead of time. It wasn't like, you know, hey, we've changed what this is. One of the fundamental things of this thing, we are changing. Here's your notification. Here's your chance to opt out beforehand. It was a bait and switch of you open the box and it's not there. So I think just based on those grounds alone, you probably should be allowed to have a full free fund.
My take on this is I think that people, if they wanted one, should be able to get a refund. It's not something that I feel like should be offered of like anybody that got this could get a refund. Just hit us up. But I do think it's if people hit them up, they should be like,
and the helmet's still really cool.
Yeah.
I think the big right now, and again, I'm not at Bethesda. I don't know what's going on over there. I have no idea what their, you know, roadmap is. What do they want to do? Blah, blah, blah. The 500 atoms is the in-game currency you can buy with real money, right? That is the real, not slap in the face, I would say, but like, you know that is nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you understand. Like, it should be like,
And see, that's kind of what I was talking about, where it's like every step just gets worse and worse and worse. And I just feel like And I don't know. I have no idea what they're going, what's going on over there right now. But I can imagine them all just being like, fuck, what do we do? How do we solve this problem? How do we solve this? And then someone runs in the room like, hey, there's this duffel bag problem. And someone else is just like, give them something. Fix it. Just fix it. And then someone else is like, I don't know, $5? They're like, yeah, go, whatever, whatever.
But, and
that sucks. When you're in that much turmoil, it's like, yo, you need to chill and not do anything.
Take a breath.
Until you do the right thing. Yeah. Or else you're just going to keep making these mistakes and you're just going to be a headline every day.
And that's the thing, right? Yesterday's headline was, hey, the bag sucks. And then it really becomes, hey, that, and they have a weird response to it, right? Because here's my thing. It's in-game cash. It's not, you're not paying for it, right? Like, I would have been like, hey, we understand that the difference in price. I actually put up a blog post, right, of like, hey, the bags actually were supposed to cost this much if they were canvas. They weren't. We're making up the difference. Here are the atoms. Here's the full price of the atoms. Here's $50 worth of atoms. Because guess what? I feel like a lot of people who are burned with the game and aren't even happy with it but can't get refunds and blah, blah, blah. If you were to say you have $50 worth of atoms, they'd be like, well, I'm going to boot it up and see what I get. I'm going to boot it up and buy that outfit that you can get, you know, different paints for your Pip-Boy, different paints for your armor and stuff. Like, yeah. Hell yeah. Like, give them that at least, right? Like, give them a, hey, we know everything's bad around the game right now. And we know that there is an audience that's playing it, enjoying it. If you're mad about that, let's try to keep you happy with really like what? Like, I mean, and don't get me wrong. I know the point of microtransactions is to generate money. I think by giving people atoms to get them in there to spend it on what they already, what's there, like, yeah, buy the Postman outfit. Who cares?
Yeah. It's bad, man.
It's bad.
I'm very interested to see what happens with this. I think Bethesda can get out of it.
Yeah.
I think they will get out of it.
How long do you think it's going to take?
I think it's going to take
a long time.
But you know what's awesome is they're not EA.
Sure.
You know, they're in a position where they are small enough and in it enough. They're, you know, yeah. they know games. They understand there's a problem here. And I do expect an apology from them in a way that I would never expect one from EA. Okay. And by that, I mean, I would not be surprised to see them at a press conference or at something come out and be like, address the issue.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
In a way that EA doesn't do. We always say that.
Right. No, yeah, because I mean, that's what Bethesda gets correct, mm-hmm. right? And what we talk about every time when we do the E3 Bethesda press conference is the fact that, you know, they are all gamers. They all understand their audience. Pete Hines is a no-nonsense PR person. Like, right, when he comes out and talks, he curses and he says what he can and says what he can't say. I do agree with you that if there isn't a mea culpa before E3, that yes, the presentation does begin with, let's start with what, you know, blah, 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 Fallout 76. And like, even if I was them leaning into it, right, of like the review scores behind you and all this stuff and quotes and be like, it didn't go the way we wanted it to, right? But we've been hard at work and we've made these improvements. If you've seen, I'm excited today to announce the giant expansion, whatever their Forsaken, right, is going to be, like whatever their Destiny 2 thing of like, here's all your feedback's been taken in. This is what it is. Come along. Let's, you know, give us another shot kind of thing. Because what is always fascinating about Bethesda when we talk about him for the conferences was the idea that, yeah, they're not as big as EA, but they have this audience. They have that Bethesda fan base that follows them to the ends of the earth and loves all these things.
Games for everyone. It's like they don't just have RPGs. They don't just have shooters. They don't just have any mobile games. They don't just have online games. They have a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's been really impressive to see them over the last couple of years show up at E3 and have things.
Yeah.
And not just have, it's something. It's, oh, shit, these are substantial announcements.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but a significant portion of them, I would say. And I'm interested now. Like every year, I feel like we're like, are they going to do one this year? Are they going to do one this year? And this one more than ever because of all this. Are they going to do
and
one
that's,
this year?
And that's the and I don't. What's interesting and fascinating from the, you know, the side of the business where we watch the business side of it, right? Is the idea internally behind closed doors right now? What is was there we talked about it right leading up to Fallout 76 when they put out that letter of like, hey, what is it, tomorrow or in the next week we're launching this game and we think it's the first time we fall together but there's going to be problems. And remember, that was when I was like, that means it's going to be a shit show. Mm-hmm. If the fact that you're saying your video game publishers don't say anything's bad, and if they say it's going to be a little bit bad, that means holy shit, it's about to be bad. Knowing that they knew that, obviously, there, did they expect the reaction to be as bad as it is right now? How are they holding up? What is their plan? What is right now their roadmap to that this game? When do you get to say, now that we fixed everything, but here are all the fixes you've been wanting and the game's going to be what we wanted it to be, what you wanted it to be, blah, blah, blah. And if you don't do that, soon enough, do you then wait to do it at E3? And then, because again, right now the tide's turning. Granted, don't get me wrong, the internet tide, message board threads, like, we're a part of it, don't get me wrong, but like, we get mad, the industry gets mad, and then has a goldfish brain. But I do feel like if this hasn't adequately been addressed by E3, announcing you have an E3 press conference means that you're going to get bludgeoned with all this again. Mm-hmm. Of why would I listen to your E3 press conference? So you can't, you have to have done some major fix, I feel like, before to your really big major fix to come out and do it to win back that goodwill.
We got enough time. We got enough time, right? Like, I wouldn't be...
I mean, that's the thing. What is the timetable for Fallout 76 to get to a point where people are going to be putting up the articles of like, oh, no, they fixed a lot of stuff. It's actually in a way better place.
I mean, they don't need to announce a press conference till what, March?
For E3?
Yeah.
I feel like it's later than that, isn't it, usually?
Whatever. I mean, at earliest then, March.
Okay.
So it's like, that gives them a couple months to figure this out.
And I just feel like it's going to be like the Destiny thing, where the fixes are very small, and Destiny had to be like, hey, guess what, guys? Like, we hear you. We understand what you want.
It's going
to
be
this year. Shit's been in the pipeline. Yeah. Like, we have to wait a while till we're going to get to the big change. And I don't know if you can come out and do a press conference, no matter how awesome your announcements are, no matter what great games you're going to have. Can you do that press conference and come out if you haven't made good on this game yet? Fascinating question, man.
I think they can.
Yeah.
Because I think that this game, a lot of people knew, wasn't for them. So it's like, hey, here's all the games that are for you. We tried this thing, and we want it to be for other people. And hey, we're still working on it. We still believe in it. But
that's not the message you want. It's not a great message. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because this isn't even that problem. It's not even that, like, hey, a small group of people are mad. This is No Man's Sky again. Mm-hmm. Not even the same problems. Where No Man's Sky was just like, you promised us a whole bunch of stuff, and we didn't get it. The game still works. It's still running. We're not that mad about that part. We're mad that it isn't us talking to each other and doing this thing. This is like, hey, this game fundamentally doesn't seem to work on certain platforms, and people are having huge problems.
A difference I see is No Man's Sky was, it felt like 25 years of hype going into it.
Sure.
And there's so much discussion of what this was, whereas Fallout 76 was pretty much announced and came out. I'm shocked it came out when it did.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like that was a game that we all were like, when's it going to get delayed?
Right.
It's not. Oh, shit. Wow, you're committing to this, right? So, like, the turnaround time was a little bit quicker, and that's probably to the detriment of the product.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a bit more of a difference between No Man's Sky, where that was, like, a disappointment, whereas this was, like, I told you so. I told you I didn't want it, and I didn't, you know?
Sure, but okay, I hear you. This also speaks to me in a way I used to talk about Naughty Dog, right? Of, like, when is their first miss going to be, right? Like, people, like, oh, man, the games kept coming out, and they keep getting 10s and Game of the Year nominations, all this stuff. People are all about it, right? This is Bethesda, right? A game that, like, again, every Fallout's buggy, and everybody's like, ah, it's Bethesda. It's Skyrim, Bethesda. Ah, it's Bethesda, right? Fucking Skyrim on PlayStation 3 there was a game-breaking bug of that, and everybody's like, ah, they'll fix it eventually. It sucks, but they're Bethesda, you know what I mean? Now they're to a point where none of the bullshit, none of the excuses, nothing's working right now, right?
Yeah.
They've come out, and they are Bethesda, and they are this, I still think, amazing video game group. They put out this game that is not what people want.
They're going to put out amazing games in the future, but I think that it stands with what I'm saying, which is that those games, it's Bethesda. It was because that was surrounding an amazing game that people wanted, whereas this is surrounding a not amazing game that people didn't want.
Sure.
You know?
So, but then it gets even more interesting, right? This conversation is the mea culpa coming out eventually, and just being like, "Hey, listen, we heard you when you said you didn't want it. We tried to power through. You still don't want it. It didn't work. Do they pull the plug on it? They have to be committed to this vision."
I wouldn't be surprised.
Really,
I would not be surprised. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, that would be like the ultimate fucking. Not even, I don't want to say a masterstroke, but I mean, like, for a company, right, this was the big joke, obviously, even leading up to Fallout 76, that, what, it's 2018 now, so the 2017 Bethesda press conference was at E3 was like, or no, it was Game Awards, right, where they did the single player isn't dead thing, and like, you know, blah, 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 like, single player, single player, single player, and then they led with this, right, like, to then come out next year and be like, listen, yep, we still are single player, we tried, that was stupid, there's no way. All their credibility would be out the window, because then you're gonna have all these people who were Bethesda diehards who bought this game, and then they gave them their $60 or $200, and then it's just woof.
Yeah, no, oof. It's complicated. There's no good way out of this, but for me as a consumer,
yeah.
I would rather that. I would rather, hey, I'm a diehard and I supported this thing because you're trying something different, even though I didn't think it was right.
Yeah.
I was right. It wasn't worth it. Like, that sucks. But hey, now you're understanding. You're going to give me more of what I actually want. I don't know. But like them coming out last year and being like Starfield.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Elder Scrolls 6. They're coming. Like, that was a clear message.
Yeah.
That this was a different experiment for them. Doesn't make it okay. Do they refund everybody fully? That's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't think there is a great way out of this, but there are ways that are better than others. And we'll see. I don't know.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what that's all about.
It's going to be interesting.
Strap in, everybody. Number three on the Roper Report. There might be a Dragon Quest incoming. This is from Steve Watts over at GameSpot. The Dragon Age franchise has been quiet since 2014's Dragon Age Inquisition, but that's set to change soon. BioWare's Casey Hudson says that the company is preparing to say more about its plans for the series sometime in December. Quote, if you've been following these blogs or myself and Mark Darrah on Twitter, you know we're also working on some secret Dragon Age stuff, Hudson said in the BioWare blog. Dragon Age is an incredibly important franchise in our studio, and we're excited to continue its legacy. Look for more information on this in the coming month, parentheses, though I won't tell you where to look, ..
I wonder.
The reference to the coming month is December. The reference to the coming month is December, which during which the biggest game event is the annual Game Awards. That also happens to house a lot of debuts and announcements alongside the accolades, so it wouldn't be surprising to see the impending Dragon Age announcement show up there. Inquisition won the top honor of Game of the Year at 2014's Game Awards. Dragon Age was one of the two major franchises that BioWare was alternating between last generation, the other being Mass Effect. Mass Effect made the journey to the new generation of consoles with Mass Effect Andromeda, but Dragon Age has not had a new game created exclusive for this generation. Well, Steve Watts, a way to leave the Kinda Funny Game Showcase out of there. Two things happening in December.
Who knows? It's a lot, Game Awards. It's happening.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. No, it's not happening it's with not, us. No. It is not us.
It is definitely happening there. I am so excited for the Game Awards, man. Like,
dude, really, Game Awards are awesome every year. And this
just
year
keeps getting more and more, man. Jeff's killing it.
Did you see
Twitter.
My tweet today?
No.
Because I was in the shower thinking about, or I was, in, I guess, getting out of the shower and then getting out of the bus or whatever. I tweeted today of like, what if the Game Awards debuted the new Avengers trailer? And it sounds crazy. Obviously, it's crazy. I know it's not going to happen. But my reasoning was like, the Russo brothers love Fortnite. We know that Donald Mustard in Fortnite are always at the Game Awards. What if it was another, hey guys, it's Donald Mustard here with Jeff Keighley and the Russo brothers, blah, blah, blah.
The Russo brothers last night were at the, they did a screening of Infinity War.
Yeah.
And a Q&A afterwards. One of them wearing
a Fortnite t-shirt. And that's my thing is like, it wouldn't, and like, what if it, and like, again, think about, like, I know this isn't going to happen and I know it won't happen, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility to be like, even if the Russo brothers weren't there and Donald Mustard's like, it's been an amazing year. Fortnite's the number one game in the world. We've made so much money. And that's why we're proud to sponsor the Avengers trailer here. You know what I mean? Like, even a tease of the Avengers trailer. And like, I know it won't happen. I know it's crazy talk, but this speaks to the hype level of the Game Awards where I don't think we're that far off. I don't think it's that crazy of an idea. It's a crazy idea. It's not that crazy.
I don't think that Fortnite or the Russo brothers would be involved in the announcement.
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy that we see the Avengers trailer at this Game Awards. I feel like the Game Awards this year is like, and I hate to do this. I hate to like set my expectations so high, but I really feel like this is the one year where I might be disappointed by it because it's like, really? My hype is so high. I think
worlds will change. Jeff keeps telling us worlds will change
so much from this. Normally Game Awards, I'm like, I know where I'm looking. But dude, I'm fully expecting Metroid Prime 4 at this time. I'm fully expecting some like holy shit announcements. And I think
you've seen the Warner Brother rumors going around. Yeah. IP with Superman game and dude, stuff. It's like, I'm not buying.
Knowing what we didn't see at E3, but expected to see.
Right.
Knowing how, in a good way, smug Jeff's been on Twitter about stuff.
In a good way.
Dude, I don't think it's smug.
Jeff's
good.
Just been way more vocal this year, being like, hey, we have this
He's
and
always
that.
Vocal.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to
this
another
year,
level.
This year, and I don't know what the right word is. Like, tell me at it. It's not smug, but it's very much like, oh, we fucking got this.
Sly.
Like, confident. I don't know. There's something in there where it's like, he knows shit we don't know.
Oh, yeah, fuck
and
yeah.
And he's like, oh, I can't wait to fucking drop this
100%.
So I think it's going to be great. I think Dragon Age for sure is going to be there.
Tim here on kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, CandyCorn343 wrote in and said, under housekeeping, is there a Game Awards reaction stream or not?
Right. For us?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, there is. Me and Andy will be doing it. Greg will be down at the Game Awards.
As I said like yesterday always. Or 2 days ago with Andrea, I'll be at the Game Awards drunk with Andrea. But yes, back home here, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Tim, Andy Cortez, number one games journalist, will be reacting and watching along the Game Awards.
We will be doing that. That's, we always do that, and I think we always will. It sucks. I want to go to the Game Awards so bad, but it's at the same time, I'm not going to give up the chance to react to trailers.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Every time I hear your Game Awards stories, I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous. Those parties sound fun. And sure, talking to everyone, that sounds cool.
When Hideo
and I was Kojima like, oh, but did you see this thing? And you're like, oh, no, you don't actually see the award. Like,
no,
the
you trailers. See them. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
It's because you're surrounded by people and everybody's talking to each other. You're excited to see each other. You're like, oh, what's happening? And then,
fuck that. No, I need, no, you need to be there. I need that. I like that.
Yeah, so yeah, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We will be reacting alongside the Game Awards. Of course, if you don't catch it live, it'll be up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames later.
Can we just think about next week, Greg? We got Game Awards. We got Smash Bros.
Yeah.
We got Kind of Funny Games Showcase.
Yeah.
What a fucking awesome... awesome time to be alive.
I'm glad. I even though it's killing both of us, I'm glad we're doing the showcase, and I'm glad that Nintendo's doing Smash, so that again, another hype ass weekend of video games happens.
Yep, that's it. Oh, it's good.
Number four. Let's talk more BioWare stuff. This is a super simple one. Who knows what it really means? But Duralut tweeted at Mark Dara, right? And that's what I said before. You know how I just make up names. Mark, but it's Dara. Mark, the executive producer over at BioWare, and said, will PS4, Xbox, and PC players be able to play with each other for Anthem? Mark responded, not at launch. So again.
Hey.
I think he's future-proofing that, hey, cross-platform play could come and do all these different things, but it's an interesting one that an executive producer on Anthem said not at launch for cross-play.
Didn't say no.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
exactly.
That's huge.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? Like, again, what a crazy...
And not only that, not a response even. It's a quote tweet. Which to these days, that's making a statement.
That's making... That's
Mark like, understands hey, Twitter, I assume. He's verified. I'm answering this shit. You know what I mean? Same he way you, verified, you understand Instagram because you're verified. I don't.
It's true.
I'm a peon. I'm clocking rocks together when I'm on Instagram. I apparently don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Keep it. Keep that one in your head, everybody. And then number five, an interesting one. They're launching a new voice actor program to fix some scripts or help people out. This is Hayden Taylor over at GamesIndustry.biz. Veteran voice actors Jennifer Hale, that's Commander Shepard, Sarah Elmala, I don't know her, and then Sissy Jones from Firewatch, have launched a new initiative to help developers improve their game scripts. Launched as part of a post-production service, the HALP Network, the Specialized Workshops and Actor Tactics, aims to give a vivid and reliable a sense of your scripts. Am I saying? Oh, that's what I wrote there.
Right.
Give a vivid and reliable a sense of your script's strength and readability by all... Why didn't anyone read this quote?
The irony there.
by offering pre-casting table reads. The service is entirely free. It also offers virtual table service for developers outside of Los Angeles, where the organization is based.
We're going to help your readability with the least readable sentence
now,
of all time.
Now, technically, that might be a typo on Games Industry business thing, but while all actors are involved with it are part of the SAG AFRA union, the project does not need to be union, and developers are under no obligation to hire the actors afterwards. Sessions last 2 hours, and there is a limit of 2 free sessions per project. As the service is still new and scaling, it's currently available by referral only. I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Just a neat little shout out of like, hey, this is a cool way to think outside of the box of, we want scripts to be better. We want voice acting to be better. Well, now the voice actors write a reverse engineering in a way of like, hey, here's a cool service to offer.
Yeah.
And there's so many... indies and smaller, you know, development houses that can really use that. So good on you, friends of the show, Jennifer, Sarah, and Sissy. Not really Sarah. I don't know who you are. I'm sorry.
One day.
Sissy and Jennifer.
Want to be your friend.
Yeah. Hit us up, man. You know how to do it. I can't wait to see if scripts get better because of this, Tim, but I'm going to have to wait to see if the proof's in the pudding later on. And it's going to be a while. If I wanted something more immediate, like say, what came to the mom and grab shops today? Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Asterix and Obelix XXL2 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. Pro Fishing Simulator on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Rival Megagon on PlayStation 4 and PC. The Gardens Between on Xbox, which, by the way, is going to come up as an Xbox Game Pass later on. Fast and Furious Takedown is now available on mobile devices. Tim, you on it yet?
I did not know about it.
And now we're moving into the Switch rundown. There's a few that are also on PC, but I'll get to them later. If I say these games, they're on Switch. Welcome to Thursday. You don't ever do this day. Abzu, ACA, Neo Geo, King of Monsters 2, Akihabara, Feel the Rhythm Remixed, Animal Hunter Z, Cattails. Crimson Keep. That's also on PC. Dexterity Trip. Freedom Planet. Gelly Break.
Freedom Planet demo version.
That's right. That's a demo.
From my understanding, Freedom Planet's already been on Switch.
There's a demo for it. I just fucked up. All right?
If you haven't played it before, I highly recommend it. It was one of my top 10 games of the year 2015, I want to say.
Really?
Yeah. It's a Sonic the Hedgehog inspired platformer before Sonic Mania came out.
Yeah.
And it was like, I said it's the best Sonic game ever made before Sonic Mania came out. You should check it out. Freedom Planet's dope.
Okay. Jinsokyo Defenders. Marianne Tavern Story, Patty and the Hungry God. Mordheim, Warband Skirmish. Nari, Tower of Shirin. That's on the PC as well. Professional Farmer, Nintendo Switch Edition. Screen Sheet Unplugged. We love Screen Sheet. You can go watch our party mode of it. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Stardust Galaxy Warriors, Stellar Climax. There's a Just Dance 2019 demo. And then here's an exciting one that's not Nintendo. Xbox compatibility is adding Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning today. Mm. Yes, please, sir. Alongside Sonic Unleashed and Aliens vs. Predator.
Sonic Unleashed, half a great game.
Yeah, people are like, can I only play the one half?
Half a horrible game.
New dates for ya. LEGO DC Super Villains is getting Aquaman movie DLC. For season pass holders, part 1 will be available December 4th. Part 2 will be available on January 8th. If you are not a season pass person, you can buy them a la carte or in a bundle on January 8th, 2019. Omega Sight Definitive Edition is coming to the Switch on December 13th. Battle Princess Madeline 7 Days is coming out on Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and PC December 6th. Rain World gets new modes on December 21st. The First Tree is out tomorrow on PlayStation 4. Game Pass is getting the following games here. The Gardens Between, November 29th. That's today. Mutant Year Zero, December 4th. And Strange Brigade, December 6th. Path of Exile has been delayed on PlayStation 4 out of next month into January. And then The Keep is coming to Nintendo Switch on the 20th of December. Deals of the day for you today, all submitted by you, the listeners. Eric from Target says, not a question, but a deal of the day. Target is currently offering Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Black Ops 4 for $29.99 and $39.99 respectively. Both are cheaper than their Black Friday price. This deal is available online and in-store with a price match. And then Ignacio Rojas wrote in and said, deal of the day, Greg's game of the year, Assassin's Creed Odyssey on PlayStation 4 is $29.99 on Amazon. This is via Wario 64. So you can all check that out. Then Scrum Dilliumptious wrote in and said, congratulations on the AC Odyssey Platinum, Greg. That's awesome. Thank you. Nailed the last night, about 85 hours. Second, will you explain to me how the heck Odyssey isn't your game of the year? You beat God of War and you said it's your new favorite game of all time. And then you just don't say much. Odyssey, fuck, you won't stop talking about it, which is amazing. But from the outside looking in, it seems like Odyssey is your game of the year. Obviously, you know yourself and where, and you know yourself and what goes where in your mind. I'm just super curious how you got there. So, of course, yeah, I think God of War is hands down my game of the year. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I've spent 85 hours in. Can't wait to get home tonight to get. There's another quest that has a trophy to it that's from DLC already. Great. Next week, they drop this. There's the mastery abilities. They keep fucking updating this game for free and making it even more incredible. I still say God of War is a masterpiece. God of War, and this is to me, but whatever, is perfect. God of War, there's not a moment wasted in that game. I feel everything is directed beautifully. I think the story is insane. I think the combat is awesome. I never felt like, man, I'm just doing something to do something right now. Or even when I went back and did the stuff I missed for Platinum, I found all that incredibly engaging. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is a game that has touched me in a way few games have. Assassin's Creed Odyssey will be one of those I talked to you about for years on podcasts together, of how much it means to me, what they're doing with it, the way I think Ubisoft is really changing the game. Polygon has an article up today, maybe it's Kotaku, about Assassin's Creed Odyssey being this template for like how maybe open world games are going to do DLC from now on, because the DLC drops next week and they've confirmed now to whoever it was, I apologize, I don't recall, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, that it's not a new area, they're just putting it on the map because the map's fucking huge. I platinum it. I'm 85 hours in. So many question marks all over this map still in terms of events and caves and all this jazz. Last night, you know, running around, like getting the final underwater locations and doing all this stuff was very much busy work. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy the gameplay loop, whatever, but it was like excited to be done with this. And there are so much times of like, oh, I need to get over there. Fast travel to this point and ride my horse over there. It's still fun enough to do it, but it is like brain dead. I'm checking Twitter. I'm doing something else. There's fat on that game. And perhaps there's no way to do an open world RPG like it and not have that fat and not have that thing. But it's, you know, a game that I'm playing. And I've talked about visual bugs before, how it doesn't look amazing here and there. Like, there are things that, as much as I love Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I can sit there and be like, well, that's not that great. This isn't blah, blah, blah. Whereas God of War, I feel like, just knocks it out of the park on literally every category I would critique God of War in. And that's why I think that I can sit here and say I love Odyssey and I'm so excited not to have stopped playing Odyssey and hope they keep doing DLC and da, 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 da. God of War is on another level in terms of everything.
Yeah, Curran's playing through it for the first time right now.
Yeah,
and he just keeps texting me like, and just keeps getting more and more like, holy shit, this game is amazing.
Yeah,
and it's cool so far out of it, because I've been telling him for like 6 months, like, dude, play this fucking game. He's like, I'll get to it. And like, he's a big fan of the old God of War games. He's kind of a bro gamer, like really into shooters, really into Counter-Strike, really into Halo, and then, you know, a little dabble stuff. He loved the old God of War games. Like,
yeah,
loved them. And he's like, there's no way it's as good as the old ones. And I'm like, trust me, like, play through this shit. You're going to fucking love it.
It's not even, it's just on a different level than all those, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it is so goddamn good. Reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by 23andMe, Quip, and another one that I can't turn the page because I got fat fingers. Hims. Let's start with 23andMe. Now, through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes 90-plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into your tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, you receive your personal online reports. You've heard me talk about it all week. I did it, and I'm very white, 52.5% British and Irish, 17.2% French and German, and then a whole bunch of European stuff happening right there.
I did it as well. I can confirm that me and Cool Greg are also incredibly white.
Nice. Did Cool Greg... He didn't do it,
but I assume it's the same,
you right? Extrapolate. Yeah. You extrapolate. So, yeah, you guys are just copies of each other.
It's the whole thing.
They're saying, you know, it's a good conversation starter for the holidays. Go ahead and do it. Come home and tell your family at the kitchen or the dinner table exactly what happened. Right now, through December 25th, you can get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andme.com/games. That's the number 23andme.com/games. Again, that's 23andme.com/games.
It's a fun thing. I recommend doing it.
Yeah. I like the health reports too.
You get a bunch of health reports. It's really cool.
Hims is up next as well. Did you know that 66% of men lose their hair by age 35? And once you start to notice, it's too loss. That's why 4hims.com is here, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Andy and Nick from Kinda Funny Do It, they took photos of their hairline, put them on 4hims.com, talked to a doctor who prescribed them the well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions. There was no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. They saved hours by going to 4hims.com. Right now, listeners can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. And finally, let's talk about Quip. Tim, there's a buzzy gift on everyone's list this year.
Oh, that's true.
It's something they'll use twice every day. It was featured on Oprah's O list, and it's perfect for everyone with a mouth.
Wow. Gia loves hers.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. It's Quip, you idiots! And it's electric toothbrush designed to make brushing better. Quip was designed with your teeth in mind so it would be simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. Quip makes holiday travels clean and easy with a multi-use cover that mounts to mirrors and unmounts to slide over the bristles for on-the-go brushing. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger. It runs for 3 months on one charge, and it's the gift that keeps on refreshing, with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And you can even get prepaid refills a year out to make sure they're never using old, worn out, or ineffective bristles. Nick is the one who uses it here.
Nick uses it here. Gia, totally unrelated to this, like even before we got the sponsorship, she got it a long time ago, and or like within the last year. Uses it every day, twice a day, does the whole
30 second buzz. Yeah, yeah.
It's cool.
Even clean.
See you do it every day.
All right. Quip looks like a big ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you get your first refill pack free with a Quip electronic toothbrush. But you don't have to tell the gifty that. That's right. It's a great holiday gift. Get your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Tim?
Yes.
Dave Norridge writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Dave? Dear Greg and Tim the Verified One, my question is regarding Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and the possibility of a big announcement at next week's Game Awards. With Zachariah recently stating that the game will receive a day one patch, could this potentially open the doors for a character reveal at the Game Awards? A day one patch, I imagine, would help Nintendo to keep this character from leaking, and with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate releasing mere hours after the show, it would be the perfect way to build hype even further. It would be great to know your thoughts. Dave from good old England.
I would be very shocked if we see any Smash Bros. DLC announcements at Game Awards. I think it's too soon. I also don't think it's the right time. There's enough content in the game that we don't need even more hype going into it. So I feel like that almost would dampen the DLC hype announcement. Like you want to keep that for the next year, to keep that hype train choo-chooing along.
Choo-chooing, you know what I mean?
And also knowing that we got Piranha Plant coming in the next couple months, like it'd be weird to have two characters not out yet. You know what I mean?
So
that's weird. And I also think it'll be read the wrong way if the DLC is available
the day the game comes out. I should have had this for free.
Exactly. So I don't think that's a good look any which way.
Do you think anything happens Smash related
at Game Awards?
Yeah.
I don't
what
know.
What is Nintendo going to do?
Metroid Prime, I think.
Okay.
Like, Metroid Prime 4, I think, is
a lock. Tim Getty's lock of the week. Take it to the bank.
I'd say that. And I think that with that comes a Prime trilogy announcement. But that's me being maybe a little too wishful thinking. But like I just can't see them releasing Prime 4 without a trilogy.
Gotcha.
On Switch. I just feel like those are kind of hand in hand. But when it comes to Smash, I just think the timing's all off for Game Awards.
Okay.
And in terms of the patch, I don't really want to talk too much about that because I've looked into a lot of the leaked stuff, but I don't want people talking about those type of things.
Fair. And I appreciate your candor. Bottle City candor, you know?
Yeah.
Suitman references. Anthony Kelly writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, a PSA rather than a question. If anyone is thinking about getting back into Pokemon Go, this weekend's in-game event will be a great time to get some good and maybe shiny Pokemon with exclusive moves to fill out your Pokedex. All the Pokemon featured in previous Community Days events will be spawning Friday lunchtime through Sunday evening, and there'll be XP and Stardust bonuses Saturday at lunchtime. I'll definitely be in, as I missed one Community Day when the servers in Asia Pacific went down. And then he puts one of those mad frowny emojis. I've got to get that Metagross. Catch you later, Anthony Kelly in Hong Kong. There you go. Good. Go get him.
Get him, man.
Go
far.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They carry over to Let's Go. Are you still playing Let's Go?
Yeah, beat it.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, Jen did that last night. She beat the Fatal Four, the Fatal Furies, the Elite Four, the Elite Eight. Yeah, she beat them last night. All the credits. And I was that's impressive. And she's like, it's easy. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry. I didn't know I got a master trainer next.
Now,
to me.
Well, right? Now the master trainer journey begins.
Oh yeah,
I'm not doing all that.
What's a master trainer look like after?
Master trainer, there's 150 master trainers that are like the master of each specific Pokemon that you need to fight with that Pokemon to beat them, and it's hard.
Okay.
The post game's hard and also long. And I'm like, I'm good.
Okay. Matthew writes into kindoffunny.com/KFG and says, hello, Greg and Tim. I'm buzzing to see what you guys have in store for the Kind of Funny Games Showcase next week. It's obviously been a lot of work to put together. Do you think that this will change your perception of major press conferences like E3 in terms of how you determine if they're a success or not? Love you guys and all you do. Matthew.
No. I feel like my background is in production and run of shows and that type of stuff, and like really trying to think about pacing, and I think that the showcase that we have is going to be a really good example of what we envision, and I can specifically say what I envision in terms of that stuff, a perfectly paced press conference to be with what we have.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously it's like if we could announce Half-Life 3, then
it'd be totally different.
And like, you know, we would do it in a different way. But I feel like at the scale that we are at, I like the way that we're planning on delivering the information.
Me too.
And when I watch a lot of press conferences, I feel like a lot of them waste our time with a lot of bullshit, really, that sure. doesn't really serve any actual function.
Sure. All our bullshit serves a function.
I think that's the fair way to say it. There's bullshit in ours. Yeah. But it's doing something.
For me, it's one of those, as exhausted as I am right now and as stressed out as I am right now and anxious as I am right now, right? To Matthew's question, it doesn't change what I perceive E3 and all that stuff. What it does for me is give me so much more respect for Jeff. Mm-hmm. I already had
absolutely.
It. You can sit there and look at the Game Awards and be like, oh yeah, that's a lot of work. That's stressful. To be where we are with our rinky-dink, hey, this is a fun grassroots. Mm-hmm. No one's looking at our thing and going to be disappointed because no one really knows what's happening, what they've heard. They're like, when people I see on Reset talking about it, I'm like, oh, they get it. They understand what we're doing. But like for Jeff, all the moving parts, I mean, with all due respect, the bigger the company we're working with for our showcase, the harder it is to get the asset from them because they're doing more and more work and running right down to the wire. Whereas, you know, we've had so many indies that turned them over real quick and gave this, that, and people made trailers over weekends for us and stuff like that. But to imagine being Jeff in all the moving parts and all the moving announcements and all
what Jeff does and what he accomplishes with the Game Awards. And I think the most important thing is to see how he's taken feedback over the years and how he's
he cares, right?
The show year after year.
Yeah.
I feel like every year, and I might be wrong about this, but I think every year since we've done Kind of Funny, we do a breakdown of it and what we think of the show and talk about our problems with it or whatever. And I feel like every year those problems get addressed more and more and more and more. And so earlier I was saying how hyped I am for the announcements. I'm hyped to see the show. Like, I'm hyped to see, like he says, there's more special guests than ever and stuff. I feel in the last couple of years he's trended towards special guests that we want to see, quote unquote. Right. It's like focusing on the game devs more than the like
Elijah Dushku.
And not, there's nothing wrong with them because people are still there. And like there's still going to be some rap performances. There's still going to be stuff because that's what gets mainstream people. And like you need to understand the lens of that, of like having the Migos at Game Awards is going to legitimize the Game Awards to the mainstream. Like, think of it this way. Would you rather have the Migos, or would you rather have all the mobile games and stuff and sports games that EA has in his press conferences? Because they're there for the same reason, but one's over in 3 minutes and one takes up 30 minutes of
it. Sure. Well, Pele comes out in one, so I mean, hell yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's time to squad up. This is when one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has good times together. Today, Dan needs help on PC/mobile. Apparently, the username there is Vala Mandos. AMANDOS. Vala. Old school RuneScape came out on mobile about a month ago, and it's a great time waster with full quests and a real game behind it. I'm primarily on PC, but I dabble on mobile. Just wanted to see if any KFBFs played, and if they did, would they add me for bossing or just to chat? Thanks. And then P.S. I hope Jared sees/recognizes my character's name in the tie-in to Lord of the Rings. Jared's not here, and I don't get any of your dork shit, Dan, so stuff it.
You don't remember Dan from Lord of the Rings?
No, Valamandos. I know. You're a goon. That's two different words. If you get it and you don't understand, Cool Greg puts it in the description. Two rotating segments, if you can believe it. I didn't expect it either. First, we're calling it Plat Watch. Chris from Tamworth, Australia, writes in and says, easy platinum, Greg. Oi, governor. Storm Boy has recently come out on PlayStation 4. It's $6 American and has a platinum, which can be completed in 15 minutes. It's more storybook than game, but it's a charming primer for the movie coming out in 2019. Have a great day and toss that pelican a red ball. Jeez. Chris, I don't even know what that means. It's terrifying.
I will be
looking for Storm Boy. Thank you very much. Because I was thinking, I got platinum number 80 last night, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And now I want to do what I didn't get to do at Extra Life and get all those cheap UK platinums and all that stuff, you know? Then we got a required reading from Maddie D. Maddie D submitted the following. What's up, KFGD crew? This isn't necessarily newsworthy, but I thought it would make some good quality, speculative, and analytical talk. Polygon published an article today about Xbox Game Pass and how third-party publishers are finding great value in joining the service. I especially thought it interesting, given that Mike Nichols, CMO for gaming at Microsoft, tweeted the following about the article. One of our most important efforts as a platform is helping creators and publishers to succeed. Good read about the efforts here with Xbox Game Pass. The article also discusses how Microsoft works hard to curate the Game Pass catalog, which sounds like the kind of effort we'd all like to see Sony and Nintendo put into games they allow on their platforms. Keep up the great work, Matty D.
That sounds cool.
I started reading the Polygon article and I didn't get all the way through it, so I thought great required reading. It seems real interesting. It's talking what's the laser game we played that recently Laser League. Yeah. And it starts with them as like the lens of it. Of this is a game that need to succeed needs a giant player base, and we can't count on that when we put the game out. So they went in as part of Game Pass, and how it's actually really helped it.
That's awesome. Just like Rocket League.
Time for your wrong. At Tim Geddes.
Yes.
Of course, this is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygame write in to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screwed it up. First and foremost, Ignacio Rojas was the first to write in and say the Nintendo's creator program was implemented on May 24th, 2015. So yeah, our first year.
Yeah.
Then there was a lot of editorializing, people talking about this, doing this thing around here. And I was like, not about that. You know what I mean? Not about that. Then people were asking questions. That's not how you use it, of course. A couple of people called out the fact that Jeff Keighley has announced that there's going to be an Anthem trailer at Game Awards.
Awesome.
I saw that. With all due respect, we love the Game Awards. I don't know if everything needs to be. Right, there's an Anthem trailer. Yeah. All right. But I see you. Crystal Bear says Sarah Emela plays Katie in Gone Home. So there you go. I should know her, but I didn't. Oh, here we go. Zaire says new date while we were live. Life is Strange episode 2 is launching January 2019. More information in December. We assume Game Awards maybe. Okay. Kebab says breaking news. Bethesda has delayed their mobile Elder Scrolls game Blades until 2019, possibly to free up schedule to fix Fallout 76 ? We don't know. We're not going to get into that. And then Kebabs tries to tell me what the Lord of the Rings reference was, but I don't care. So I turned off the iPad.
Ha ha!
Clerks is a better trilogy than Lord of the Rings.
I love you.
It's cinematic universe.
James,
is that
James
what the
Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
Just for fun, a couple nights ago.
How's that hold up?
You know what? Surprisingly well.
Really?
The thing with that movie, because I watched 16 Candles.
Oh, yeah.
The night before, and that was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that does not hold up. Like, when I say bad, I mean it is like very not okay, politically correct at all. Very offensive.
Molly Ringwald wrote an article about that, right?
Yeah.
Where she wants to show her daughter her work, but then she's like, it's such a different time period.
There's some horrible shit in that.
Don't let people treat you this way.
The thing about Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is all the horrible things are done mostly by Jay, and he's treated as a bad person.
Sure.
So I feel like that contextualizes his like what's being joked about and what is happening.
Sure.
And so it's like, I feel like it holds up because of that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, I know. I understand. Well, yeah, he's the foil, right? Like he's being used as an example of what not to be.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So,
but Shannon Elizabeth still falls in love with him. Spoilers for Jane.
Yeah. There's a lot there.
Yeah, yeah. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. And listen on podcast services around the globe. If you don't get enough of us talking, we're about to record a Gamescast live. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. For $1, you can come watch me, Tim, Jared Petty, chop it up, as Cool Greg would say, I believe. Did I use that right? Okay, Cool Greg's nodding his head. I use it right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, Andrea Renee closes out the week with me. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.